Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. I hope you're doing fine. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing as you listen to this, this is episode number 826, and it's called Yiddish Words Used in English. I was considering calling this English words from Yiddish. In the end, though, I decided I would emphasize the fact that these are Yiddish words which are used in English. Okay? Now, we know that English is a very broad and diverse language, right? People often say that English has a massive vocabulary. And one of the reasons for this is because it's kind of sucked up lots of words from other languages. You may know the history of the English language, the sort of the most common narrative for the history of English. In fact, I think my dad gave a basic version of it in the recent episode that we did about his book, the recent one, which was called A River Avon Year. That episode, we did talk about sort of some of the history of the English language. But the basic story is that English has sort of developed over the last, 2,000 years or 1,500 years or something. And that English has been influenced by mainly Latin from the Romans and also Latin that came through the French as well. And French, of course, after the invasion of the Normans in 1066, and they brought French with them, of course. Germanic languages from the Germanic tribes of places like what's now Denmark and Germany. They brought their languages over, and you end up with Anglo-Saxon. I mean, in terms of chronology, it's really Anglo-Saxon, and then French came in with the Norman invasion. And then, you know, over a period of about 1,000 years, you develop through Middle English to Modern English and so on. But English also has taken vocabulary from lots of other places too. I talked about this a little bit last year with Fred Iango in his episode that we did. We talked about crossword puzzles and origins of English. So as well as being influenced by Latin, French and Germanic languages, English has taken words from Greek, you know, words like biology, philosophy, psychology. Lots of words have come from Spanish, especially words relating to food like taco and salsa and things like that. And also the word siesta, which is a word meaning to have a nap, as you will know. Also, English has taken words from Arabic, especially words related to maths, words like zero and algorithm. English has taken words from Dutch as well, words related to things like trade and navigation, like yacht and cookie and landscape come from Dutch. Indian languages too have contributed lots of words to the English language, words coming from languages like Hindi, including words like jungle, pajamas, guru, and other languages that come from India. But also, English has taken words from Yiddish as well. Now, Yiddish, as you may know, is a language associated with Jewish communities in Central and Eastern Europe, or Jewish communities that originally were based in Central and Eastern Europe, right? And so Yiddish is a fascinating language. It's a sort of a Germanic language with elements of Hebrew and Aramaic and Slavic languages, spoken by millions of Jews throughout Europe before the Holocaust, and then after that with the Jewish diaspora, the sort of spread or the movement of Jewish people around the world. They brought Yiddish with them, of course, and as we know, plenty of Jewish people went to the United States and in particular settled in New York City. And you know, New York's famous for its Jewish communities, but also plenty of Jewish people moved to England and London. Similar to New York, London has its Jewish community as well, and so naturally Yiddish has kind of contributed words to English, because as these, you know, people moved to these English-speaking places, they brought their language with them. These days, if you talk about people of my generation, Jewish people of my generation who have grown up in the UK, maybe their grandparents may have used Yiddish around the house, or, you know, there might be just like Yiddish words used in the family and stuff. And those words have kind of gradually made their way into the English language, to the extent that you can find many of them in the Oxford English Dictionary. And there are many words that are used on a daily basis by people who are not Jewish. Like, for example, for me, I actually use many of these words myself, and I'm aware of a lot of the words too. And so what we're looking at here is, yes, Yiddish words that are used in English. Okay, basically, that's the idea. And I'm joined today by Sebastian Marx, my friend Sebastian. I know Sebastian through doing stand-up comedy in Paris. Sebastian is a professional stand-up comedian. He is from New York originally, but he lives in France now. He does comedy shows in French and in English. But this time, Sebastian and I thought we would talk about this interesting subset of vocabulary words in English that are from Yiddish. Now, most of these words, we're going to go through a list. Most of the words are in the Oxford English Dictionary. To be fair, some of them are a bit specific to the Jewish community and haven't really made their way all the way into the dictionary or into common usage. But nevertheless, you do hear them. You do hear these words in things like comedy shows or certain characters, for example, in American movies and things like that. You know, if you're watching like Woody Allen films or certain comedy shows that you might see on American television, characters might use some of these words. So, you know, there's a bit of a grey area when you're talking about kind of dialect words or words that come into English from other languages. Normally, there's a bit of grey area where those communities will speak that dialect. And some of those dialect words definitely become part of common English usage, but then some of the words don't as well. So we'll go through the list in this episode. We're going to talk all about these words and what they mean and give examples and all that sort of stuff. At the end of the episode, I will highlight ones which actually I couldn't find in the Oxford English Dictionary, but the vast majority of them are in common English usage. So there you go. I thought that this would be an interesting episode for you to listen to, just as a way of exploring the diversity of the English language, and also to have, you know, an interesting conversation with a friend on the podcast. So this is a chance for you to listen to Sebastian and me in conversation. As I said, Sebastian is from New York originally, so you're going to hear an American accent. But that's it for this introduction. Okay, if you want, you can check the episode page on my website, where you'll find a list of all the words that we're using. Okay, I'll speak to you again at the end of this conversation, but now I will let you listen to me in conversation with Sebastian Marx, and here we go. Sebastian Marx, welcome back onto my podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, nice to have you back here. When was the last time you were on this show? Do you remember?
I don't. Was it around COVID time? Did we do it virtually?
I think so. I think we did a sort of a lockdown chat episode, kind of thing. But I think maybe even at the end of that episode, we said that we would do this. So it's been at least like 2 years that we've been thinking about
this
doing this.
This episode is 2 years in the making.
Yeah, exactly. It's been in the making for 2 years.
Yeah.
So how are you, Sebastian? What have you been up to?
I'm good. I'm still performing stand-up comedy as my profession in French and in English, in Paris and abroad. And making videos, sometimes doing videos, and that's pretty much, and being a dad. Which is that's already a lot.
You've got three kids.
I have three kids.
Yeah. Three.
Three. Yeah.
Is that
that's too much?
Is it?
Yeah, it's three too many.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's quite. How old are they?
10, 7, and 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What a handful.
It is a handful, but it's good. It's good.
Does the 10-year-old help out with the 4-year-old?
Starting to. Well, we're in a good period. We're in a sweet spot now because no more diapers, no more pacifier for the young one. The old one is the eldest is not a teenager yet. Mm-hmm. So we have this little sweet spot of like 2-3 years before all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
We're coming out of the baby phase, you know, no more toilet trained is good. You know, we're having conversations with our 4-year-old. So that's all good.
Yeah.
So we're out of the baby, you know, no more stroller. Mm-hmm. You know, we can put the kid in the car. We don't need to fold anything. You know, he's going, it's great.
Yeah.
He eats by himself. You don't have to cut everything. Like he's becoming a person.
Yeah.
And the eldest one is, even if she is showing signs of adolescence already, she's not, you know, full on.
Yeah. You got a couple of years.
Yeah. We have like 2 years.
Kicks in
the sweet spot.
Okay. All right. So anyway, nice to have you back though. So to give you a bit of time out from all of that craziness.
Yes. That's why I'm here.
Well,
just to get away from
just that. That's the only reason. We also agreed a theme for the episode.
We did.
Which is what? What's the theme that we're going to talk about?
Yiddish.
Yes.
I stuttered. Yiddish.
Words in English that come from Yiddish.
Yes.
Okay.
And there are a lot. There are a decent amount.
So why have we chosen to talk about this?
And what is Yiddish?
What is Yiddish as well?
Yiddish is a language, if I can say it's a Jewish language or language spoken by the Jewish people in Eastern Europe. And I'm specifying this because there are two kind of groups, general groups of Jews. One is Sephardic, the other is Ashkenazi. And Ashkenazi is coming from Eastern Europe, and the Sephardics are coming from Northern Africa and Spain and Portugal. And so I'm an Ashkenazi Jew. So because my grandparents, my paternal grandparents are from Germany and maternal are from Austria.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Yiddish then.
Yiddish. So coming back to you. So Yiddish, the language, was spoken by the Jewish people, is spoken by the Jewish people coming from Eastern Europe.
Mm.
And it's a kind of a mix between German and Hebrew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And you can kind of hear it in the sounds, the phonetically, the words sound a bit German.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. So we've created a list of words that come from Yiddish that are... Most of the words in the list are ones that are used regularly in English, like just like totally normal parts of the English language. I would say that most of those ones, as an English person, obviously growing up in England, not in parts of New York where people might even say these words, as an English person, I am aware of and use many of the words in the list. So I would say those ones are probably ones that are part of general English rather than sort of specific dialect words or something in, you know, communities where people speak Yiddish.
Well, yeah,
it's like gone into the language to the extent that it's just like normal.
But they're in the dictionary now.
Yeah,
I mean, at least in the American dictionary, in the like Webster dictionary, which is I guess the American version. And they're official words now.
Yeah, so in the Oxford English Dictionary.
As well?
Collins. Okay. Yeah, all those dictionaries contain many of these words.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so did you hear Yiddish being used around you when you were growing up?
I never knew anybody who spoke only in Yiddish. Like, for example, my grandparents didn't speak Yiddish, or at least not to an extent that they would speak it only, you know, that it would be, well, they were German speaking, so I think it was so close that they just spoke German. And also my grandparents weren't necessarily that religious either. But it's, I never knew somebody who spoke exclusively Yiddish, but they're just Yiddish words all over the place, you know, and part of the reason is because the words on this list are very specific. You know how there's some words in some languages that are just so good and so specific about and that they can't translate them, or, you know, and that's why Americans or just English speakers use Yiddish words sometimes because they're just so good and they're so specific about one idea, one concept that an English word wouldn't do the trick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Jewish. I was born and raised in the Jewish tradition, but with a very kind of liberal idea already of Judaism, meaning our family wasn't Orthodox or very strict. when it came to, you know, for example, we weren't kosher. We didn't eat kosher food growing up. But I was bar mitzvahed. So there's this whole idea about, like, for me, Judaism is a religion, but it's also a culture. And so, like, I feel culturally Jewish, but I don't, but I'm not religious today. Like, I don't go to synagogue and haven't for years.
Naughty boy.
I am a very bad Jew. And yet, at the same time, I feel like there is something that's culturally that I come from this group of people, especially the Ashkenazi group. So mm-hmm. What I think is interesting is, like, you put me in front of a Sephardic Jew who's coming from North Africa, I won't feel like we're the same culture mm-hmm. because they're going to eat couscous. They're going to be happy, you know. And so it's, I feel like it's not part of our the same genetic code,
right?
So I do feel culturally speaking, and I think Yiddish words contribute to that feeling of cultural identity. And Yiddish is specifically Ashkenaz, meaning Eastern European Jew, mm-hmm. not North African Jewish.
Okay. So the words in this list come from the Ashkenazi group.
Yes.
Who speak Yiddish.
Yeah, which is kind of, once again, this mix between German and Hebrew.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the top of the list is a word that everyone uses all the time.
Yep.
The word bagel.
Bagel.
A bagel.
A bagel.
So
a bagel is a round piece of bread, like a donut shaped bread, mm-hmm. but it's savory. It's not sweet like a donut, mm-hmm. and it's boiled. It's originally boiled, then baked.
Boiled, then baked.
Boiled, then baked. So you take the dough and you put it in water, in boiling water, mm-hmm. hence boiling.
Boiling.
and then you put it in the oven to give it the brown kind of golden touch. So it is it's interesting and it's very good. It's all over New York, all over most of America. You can get bagels anywhere. I'm saying that because in France, it's really hard to get bagels.
Mm.
You have to go to Picard, which is the frozen, or you go to Bagelstein. Like, there are very few places.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to complain about the bread selection here in France, but bagels is not necessarily their thing where you go anywhere in New York. And it's kind of like the go-to bread in a sense, like, you're going to make a sandwich, you use a bagel. If you want breakfast, you have like scrambled eggs on a bagel or bagel sandwich. And so it's all over the place in the United
Bagels
States.
Bagels are everywhere. It's just bagel, bagel, bagel.
Bagel, bagel, bagel.
Constantly.
Like just more
too
popular.
Many, too
than,
many bagels.
Than baguettes and, you know. And you can also just buy like a dozen bagels at places and just like have them for breakfast.
It's just always.
12 bagels for breakfast.
12 bagels. The 12 bagels of breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay, so very common, but I didn't know that came from Yiddish originally.
I guess
who knew?
Yeah, I guess the word does. I mean, logically, it does. I'm not sure where the actual word comes from.
I don't really mind because they taste nice. What's your favorite?
Yeah, it says a bagel, browned, borrowed from Yiddish, bagel, spelled B-E-Y-G-L, ultimately from a diminutive of Middle High German, ring bracelet. Which makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the idea of a ring.
What's your favorite bagel filling?
My favorite bagel filling would probably be, either the classic cream cheese. You know, scallion cream cheese and tomato is good.
Scallion cream cheese and tomato.
Because in the United States, you'll have all these like different kinds of cream cheese with different things in it. And I also just like a tuna salad bagel.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't talk to people after it because you get the onions and have bad breath for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
but it's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
Okay, bagel. Next one, pronounced, is it chutzpah?
Chutzpah.
Not chutzpah.
No, chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
It's spelled C-H, but you pronounce it chutzpah.
Yeah.
Which means the nerve of somebody.
The like, audacity.
The audacity. So what chutzpah? Like if someone is... talking back to his father, they say, what chutzpah?
The chutzpah on this kid.
Yeah, on this kid to talk back to his father like that, to curse. Or, you know, what chutzpah, my friend asking me to pay him back for the coffee that he had to pay for. It was €2.
The nerve. This guy, the chutzpah of this guy.
And I love this word because it really, it hits home. It feels like It's what it's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it is a bit like spitting. That
it is like chutzpah. Chutzpah.
Yeah,
yeah. What chutzpah?
Sometimes the best words do have that sort of I don't know what it is. Onomatopoeic quality to them, or a sort of physical quality. Like a lot of swear words have got that. Lots of t and k sort of sounds.
Yeah,
and chutzpah,
chutzpah
is quite a good one. So the chutzpah, the nerve of this guy. Yes. Okay. Nice. Next one. Glitch.
Glitch.
A glitch in the system. A glitch in the matrix.
A bug is something that went wrong. A small thing that went wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's usually taught, like today, it's usually used with electronics, computers, phones. There's a glitch, or there's a glitch in the system, or there's a glitch in the matrix. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty common. I think it's definitely an English word now.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. It's maybe the most sort of the word that has...
The most official English word today.
Exactly. Yeah. That, maybe that and bagel and a couple of others possibly, but like glitch is just so common.
So common, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, next is the word goy.
A goy, which is the way Jews call anybody who's not Jewish. A goy is somebody who's who's not Jewish, a non-Jew.
Right.
Yeah. So we have a word for everybody else.
Just one word for everyone else, Jewish.
I think it originally just means a guy. I think it comes from that. Like,
yeah. The idea of who just is a this? Person. Just some guy.
It's some guy. So meaning not Jewish. Because Jews are apparently in another level, another realm. Just, I don't know exactly.
It's Jewish and then it's just some other guys. So it's goy.
It's a goy.
You say Gentile as well, though, don't
Gentile
you?
Gentile is more, yeah. Gentile is also means non-Jew. But among Jews, we would say more, oh, he's a goy. Like, oh, he married a goy. More than a Gentile. A Gentile is like a little bit too official or too pleasant.
Okay.
A goy is more slang.
Pejorative,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, especially like married a goy is like the worst thing that can happen.
Next is the word klutz.
Great word.
Oh, you stupid klutz. What have you done?
It's a clumsy person.
Yeah.
Somebody who's clumsy is a klutz.
Yeah, yeah.
Who drops things, who trips over things.
Knocks things over, breaks things. Yeah. Oh, you stupid klutz. Oh, yeah. I'm such a klutz. Sorry for being such
a
klutz.
And I wonder if klutz is not coming from the same root as clumsy.
Yeah, clumsy, klutz.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must be related in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there you go, a clumsy person. A lot of these I know already. Bagel, chutzpah, glitch, goy, klutz. I've known all of them so far. Mm-hmm. Next is another kind of obvious one, kosher.
Kosher, which means... Well, literally anything that especially when we eat food has to be kosher for the Jews, meaning there's no pork, you're not allowed to mix meat and milk, any dairy products, you can't eat like a cheeseburger because it's a mix of cheese and meat. And I guess the idea is like you don't want to take too much from the same animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't abuse of the cow kind of idea. Also, you know, shellfish, there are lots of shellfish that are not kosher. I don't know why.
Because you know the why? Because they're shellfish. This is this is a Sean Connery joke. Why does Sean Connery hate crabs? Because they're shellfish. And what time does Sean Connery arrive at Wimbledon? Tennis. Anyway, so that was kosher.
Have you done a thing on the ish? It's pretty specific to the English language. The
what?
Ish.
Ish.
Like ten-ish.
Ish. Like ish. It's sort of
approximately.
Is it raining? Kind of ish.
Yeah.
Have I ever done a bit on it in stand-up?
Yeah. No. Have you talked about it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Many times. Ish.
Because it's pretty specific.
Is that only us then? You guys don't do that?
Because I was trying to think about like. A French person asked me, how would you translate ish? And I was really like, there's no way in French, at least, which kind of made me think it's pretty specific to English, the ish.
Ish. So it's kind of, what color is it? Is it sort of bluish? Bluish, brownish, sort of.
Like approximately blue.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of blue, yeah.
But in terms of what we can add after, like we put ish afterwards, I can't think of an equivalent thing that we can put after, only things before. Kind of blue. Sort of blue. You know,
and I think when
approximately
yeah. So yeah, there's the ish as a suffix that means a, you know, mm-hmm.
It's quite a unique
tool
thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's in English. That one, of course. Yeah. So, all right, what's the next word? Kvetch.
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 Yeah, is to complain.
Right, I didn't know this one.
Yeah.
But it's means great. To complain.
It's complain, to whine. Ah, stop your kvetching.
Complaining, whining, moaning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what sort of context would that be used then?
Could be about a kid complaining, or an old person on the bus. Oh, it's hot. I can't stand it. Oh, you stop your kvetching.
Always kvetching.
Always kvetching.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much any complaining. And I think this is also, phonetically sounds good. God, kvetch, to kvetch is to complain.
I think what you should do at the end of this, when we've been through the list, is you should test me.
Okay.
You should look at the list and just like define one. I have to tell you which one it is.
All right.
Let's see how many I forget.
Yeah.
Next, lox.
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 Lox. L-O-X is smoked salmon. Very popular in New York cuisine. Probably in other major cities in the States. And mm-hmm. So it's smoked salmon, often cut very thinly. And you would put it on a bagel. A very common bagel and lox for breakfast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like in brunches, like lots of brunches in New York, kind of more upscale-y would have lox.
Ah.
Or at the fish store, you can get lox. So it's smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon.
I'm not sure if there's any difference between lox and smokes. Just any smoked salmon, I guess it's like a certain smoking technique
mm-hmm.
that makes it even more loxy.
Delicious.
So, that's what lox is.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that one either. Next is the word mensch, which I have heard before.
You've heard it mentioned?
I've heard it mentioned. So mensch, M-E-N-S-C-H.
Yeah, which means man. I think it literally means a man.
Right, but...
But it means like a good guy.
A really good guy.
A good guy, yeah.
A good guy that we all respect.
Yeah.
He's a real mensch.
Yeah, a real mensch. Like, yeah, someone who's a good person. And often it's used ironically.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I want to make you feel like I'm a good person, it's like, hey, you see, I bought you some flowers. Yeah, yeah, you're such a mensch. Oh, yeah, I gave that a homeless guy 5 cents. Oh, yeah, what a mensch.
What a mensch you are.
Yeah, you're such a mensch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's often used ironically. But yeah, I mean, a mensch is a stand-up guy.
Okay, yeah. You're a real mensch.
You're a real mensch.
Thanks a lot, you're a real mensch.
Yeah.
Next is mashugana.
Mashugana.
When I'd never heard of this before.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Mashugana is a crazy person.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, he's all mashugana or mashuga. And it means craziness, like bonkers, bananas.
Yeah.
We have lots of words in English too.
Yeah, bananas, crazy, nuts, bonkers, batty, barmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mashugana.
Yeah, and mashugana. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that's really made its way into English.
No, I'd never heard that before. Never. This seems very strange.
Yeah, this might be something that I've heard thanks to my community that I grew up in.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
How would it be used then? Can you give me an example sentence?
Well, look, he ran out of the house without any clothes on. He's all mashugana.
Okay.
A person who acts foolishly. Yeah. This.
Okay. Someone who does crazy, foolish things. Okay. He climbed up the building without a rope. He's mashugana.
He's mashugana, yeah.
Okay. All right. Never heard that one. Next one I have heard. Oi.
Oi.
Oi vey.
Oi vey. It's a sigh. It's like, oh my God. Yeah, I guess the equivalent would be oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
In English.
Yeah. Like oh, my God.
It's a Jewish version of oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Oy vey. Like, look, oh.
Oh, it's raining again. Oy vey.
It's raining again. Oy vey. Yeah, and it's usually nothing that dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, that person is being murdered. Oy vey.
Oy vey.
No, it's more just like,
oh, dear.
Yeah, oh, dear. Oh, dear would be a good translation.
All right, then. Flying through the list, next we have the word putz. So we had klutz before.
Yeah, klutz, which is a clumsy person. A putz literally means a penis, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah?
But it's any, like a jerk, I would say. Like
stupid putz.
Yeah, it's a mix of loser and asshole. And it's kind of relatively vague.
Not a great thing to be.
You don't want to be a putz. You definitely do not want to be a putz.
No.
A stupid or worthless person. Is the official Google definition.
The official Google definition is a stupid or worthless person.
I'm not some two-bit putz who doesn't know the difference between Uzo and Dom Perignon.
So
Putz.
Okay. It's stupid Putz. What do you think I am? Some kind of Putz?
Yeah. So yeah, stupid person.
Okay, there's a few words for stupid person in this list.
And I'm going to talk about this comedian named Gary Gulman, who's an American Jewish comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he's I forget which bit it is, but he just starts saying, oh, the guy was a putz, a klutz, a schlemiel, a schnook. And he says, yes, Eskimos have 100 ways... 100 words for snow. Jews have 100 words for loser.
Right.
And so it's true. I'm realizing that on this list of Yiddish words, lots of them just mean loser.
So
so the next one after putz is schlemiel.
Yeah.
Which is in a similar...
Schlemiel. I'm adding some to the list here. We've got schnook as well.
And schmuck.
And schmuck here too.
Which
okay.
I think ironically, or... Schmuck also means a penis.
Really?
I think both schmuck and putz.
Yeah, but schmuck and putz are always used to talk about a person. He's a stupid schmuck.
Yeah.
You look at you, you putz.
Yeah, but it's very rarely used to actually talk about.
But then you do have a word for penis, and that is schlong.
Schlong, that's true.
He got out his schlong.
Yeah, which usually means a big. There's an idea of a big penis.
The sense that it's large.
Snake,
if it's
schlong. Schlong coming from snake, so yeah. So schmuck is, schmuck, a foolish or contemptible person.
Right. So so we've just had, we had klutz first, the clumsy person.
Clumsy
putz
person.
Is stupid idiot.
Yeah.
Schlemiel. Yeah, what about
Schlemiel, I think, is also kind of a mix between a klutz, like... an idiot. It's definitely.
I thought it's between a putz and a klutz. Between the two, you've got a schlemiel.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Putz can be more like a mean person. I feel schlemiel is like a pitiful person.
Right. Pathetic.
Yeah, a stupid, pitiful, awkward, or unlucky person. So I guess the idea of like unlucky is like,
it's not their fault, really.
Yeah, it's pitiful. Like you have pity on this person.
Right.
Which links to schnook. which is even more pitiful because it's like somebody who falls for everything.
Right.
Like a loser in the sense like he'll follow a guy around just because he's looking for affection or he'll fall for any scam. Oh, a schnook.
That's a schnook. So a schnook is someone who's totally gullible and will fall for anyone's shtick.
Yeah.
And a
schlemiel
is just a pathetic loser.
Yeah.
And a putz is just a loser.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, there are lots of subtle differences.
Different shades of
loser.
Yeah, I see.
Different 50 shades of putz.
Putz, schlemiel, schnook, schmuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Different words for people. Schlong as well, the penis there, of course. Don't forget that one, listeners.
Yeah, very important.
And then some other words. This one is one of my favorite ones that I do know.
Yes.
And that's schlep.
Schlep.
So you can schlep something. You can schlep yourself.
It's hard to define. It's like to schlep something is like to carry it, to haul. And it implies that it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's annoying and difficult.
Yeah.
So you can schlep a backpack. You can schlep a box.
Yes.
But also it means to travel far. Or at least in a difficult way.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to schlep to the other side of Paris just to...
deliver this letter or whatever.
Just to deliver this letter just to have a coffee.
So, schlep.
Schlep is this idea of traveling / carrying something that's annoying and heavy and difficult.
It's perfect because that is a journey that we have to make quite a lot. We have to do this all the time. Half of our trips are really annoying, inconvenient, and difficult, especially if you're carrying something heavy, you're traveling a long distance. It's a real schlep.
It's a real schlep. You can say it's a noun and a verb.
Yeah.
You can schlep to somewhere, meaning you're implying that it's either far or annoying to get there.
Yeah. You can schlep something.
Yeah.
You can, so I'm going to schlep this bag around all day.
Meaning carry.
And it's such a schlep to get to the airport from here.
It's meaning it's an annoying voyage trip.
That's perfect because that's something
great word.
So specific in its meaning and so common as well.
And
but,
so right. I mean, like there's in the right in the sense precise. Like there's no other word, especially in English, that has that sense, that has that idea of going somewhere and it's annoying.
Yeah, so it's a great addition to the language.
Yeah.
We use that one in my family quite a lot.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
And so, okay, schlep. We also got the word schlock.
Which means something cheap.
Yeah, like maybe just some kind of rubbish, like loads of products that you'd find in some terrible cheap roadside shop.
Yeah, kind of like anything that's you want to give away, like junk.
Yes.
Junk, I guess, would be good.
So, yeah, schlock. Often like, cheapo product that you're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
I've got all this kind of, all this schlock. Did we talk before about how schlock could be also stuff that you could do, like comedy or movies?
Yeah,
like Hollywood schlock, like the sort of generic rubbish that they do in Hollywood films.
Rubbish is a good word too. Yeah, like something that's not quality, like something that's not worth watching or worth listening to. And yeah, junk is good. Yeah,
okay.
Anything that's cheap, not of good quality.
Yeah.
The next one's great.
Next one, the word schmooze, which is a verb, to schmooze, schmoozing.
It means to chat. It means to chat, but with like the idea of making connections or getting somewhere, often like with a cocktail in hand.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, oh, to schmooze is to smooth talk and kind of, for your career, business, goals, like so, giving someone your card, you know, that kind of...
The kind of thing that would happen in Hollywood a lot where producers are schmoozing with each other. They're, sort of going, they're networking, charming people, doing deals, and flirting maybe, and drinking cocktails, looking very glamorous, and schmoozing with all of the other producers at the Hollywood party.
It's great because it's also very specific, because it's beyond just chit-chat. It's beyond talking. It's making connections. It's networking, would be the official. Google says, talk with someone in a lively and friendly way, typically in order to impress or manipulate them.
Do you have to schmooze ever as a comedian in Paris? Any schmoozing?
Yeah, I'm not a good schmoozer, though. Like, no? I'm not... It's not my my strength. It's not... some people... I love watching good schmoozers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few friends who are good schmoozers who are just like, you can see... how they start, and like all of a sudden they know like what joke to place, but also they know how to eventually get to a good contact, you know, and you know, get the person's number or just say, oh, you know, I'm working on this, you should check this out, kind of thing. So yeah, I'm not a good schmoozer, but yeah, it's important in our industry, I guess, like in most entertainment industries, it's good to know how to schmooze.
Yes, I would say so. All right, so.
Next one is schmutz.
Schmutz.
Schmutz. It's like any dirty thing, often like on your face. Like you have something, schmutz on your shirt or your face, on your cheek. You got some schmutz.
I've never heard of this one before. Yeah,
it's pretty common, at least in New York.
Just some dirt, generic dirt.
Anything dirty that you want to get rid of.
You've got some schmutz on your face. Can you just wipe it off?
Schmutz on your computer screen.
Yeah, I just got to clean up this schmutz on my phone after I dropped it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like the English equivalent would be like what? I guess
I think it's just shit.
Yeah, just some shit.
There's just some shit. Sorry, got some shit on you. Got some shit on the side of your mouth.
You got some stuff. Yeah, but stuff doesn't necessarily imply dirty.
Yeah. So shit. I mean, we use the word shit to mean obviously poo.
Yeah.
But we also use the word shit to mean just dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So what was it again?
Schmutz.
I'm gonna have to remember all this, listeners, for the test.
And I like say I say to my kids. That's one of the, you know, because they often have schmutz on clothing and or body parts.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're handing down your vocab to the younger generation.
Yeah.
Shtick.
Shtick.
So we were talking about shtick before. Before we started recording.
Yeah.
And so comedians can have shtick. So you have shtick.
Yeah.
Shtick is, so this is one I know as well. It's a sort of distinguishing style of doing comedy. It's normally for comedy, right?
I think is so. It? But I'm seeing like the definition here says feature or business. Yeah. I mean, I think it's often associated with comedy. It's like, what's your persona? What's your style of comedy? It's style, your way of telling a joke. Or your routine.
Mm-hmm.
What's his shtick? Oh, his shtick is that he's dirty. He's a dirty comic. Or he insults women. That's his shtick. It's just he does jokes about his kids. You know, like kind of like the theme or the style of comedy he does is his shtick.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a shtick?
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess it's like observational. But I'm trying to just move away from that, getting to more personal stuff. But yeah, it's hard to say. It's I'm inside of myself, so it's hard to say. I think it's not an easy question to answer what your shtick is. It should be. It would help if I knew what my shtick was. But you have a shtick?
I don't know, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's hard for me to tell. But I have this shtick that I would like to have, which is the sort of stream of consciousness, surreal, improvising kind of comedian who's kind of, doing
ad-libbing.
This ad-libbing, lots of ad-libs, lots of sort of slightly surreal, imaginative stuff. That's the kind of thing I'd like to do.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, there's definitely like an absurd aspect to your observations and your style of jokes, and that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing I go for, I think.
That's
that
great.
Kind of Monty Python, Eddie Izzard kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. All right, shtick. Yeah, your shtick is, you know, you observe very carefully the whole sort of differences between your culture and French culture or Parisian culture.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've seen you do so many bits that they've stuck in my head. like, I don't know what, like, you know, doing stuff about learning French and forgetting English words.
Yeah.
And, you know, like your brain just says to you, you know, you're just going to have to let grapefruit go.
Yeah. There's a limited amount of space in my brain for more than one language.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when I learn a new French word, it pushes its English counterpart overboard.
Yeah. This is always
the dark ocean of my unconscious.
This has always horrified me, you see, that I would lose all my English words.
Hasn't that happened?
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
But I haven't really picked up many French words, though. But yeah, that joke often sticks with me, and various others that you've done over the years. You've kind of described the experiences that I've had living and working in Paris. So shtick, okay, comic sort of style,
yeah,
let's say.
Style.
Yeah. Moving on to another noun, schmaltz. Schmaltzy is the adjective.
Cheese in the sense over-sentimental.
Yes.
Forced.
Like some
forced emotion.
Some movies, they're just full of schmaltz, especially at the end. Especially Hollywood movies, they really turn up the schmaltz all the way up to 11.
Put like schmaltzy music on to make you to force the emotion,
and a happy ending gets tacked on.
Yeah.
Can you think of any sort of schmaltzy films? Any of Steven Spielberg's films?
Yeah, I think schmaltzy? Even though I'm a fan of Spielberg, his. If there's going to be a problem with a Spielberg movie, it's going to be that. It's going to be over sentimental, too obvious, or cheesy. Yeah, you know, where just the hero will finally, you know, there'll be a close up on his face with a dramatic music, like forced a little bit. And I feel like some Spielberg stuff could be like that.
E.T. is a bit schmaltzy at the end.
Yeah,
like fly off on their bikes and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a bit rich.
I'm trying to think of what other I remember like Saving Private Ryan, like at the end, like when you come back to him as an adult or something.
Yeah, when Tom Hanks is going to get killed and he says to Ryan, "Hey, Ryan," and Ryan's like, "What?" And he goes, "Earn this."
Yeah, yeah. Like,
earn this.
Yeah. Like that.
Meaning you've got to live your life and really, you know, be happy and earn the sacrifice that was made to earn this. And it goes very schmaltzy.
Yeah. He's good at schmaltz. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. Like sometimes I buy into it. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah. 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 Shul.
Shul is synagogue.
Oh, I
it's
see.
It's another word for synagogue.
Shul. S-H-U-L.
I'm going to shul. I'm going to pray at the synagogue.
Sounds like I'm going to school.
And it might come from school, now that I'm thinking about it. It's because, you know, back in the day when you would learn in church or you would learn in your religious place of worship, so it might come from the same word, school and shul.
Yeah, okay, very interesting.
From a Germanic origin.
Yeah, it's an interesting word as well, school, because there's not many words that have CH that are pronounced K.
Like a K, yeah.
School, yes. Schedule, yeah. Arguably, if you speak American English. Yeah.
Schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, shul, meaning synagogue.
Yeah.
But maybe school in a way as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Schwitz. So I didn't, by the way, I didn't know shul.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Shul is pretty specific. I mean, like, you're not going to hear it outside of the Jewish community. Like, I don't think anybody in any, especially because you're talking about the synagogue. Like, it's something that I heard only in the community. Like, I don't think I've heard any movie or any sitcom that talked about shul.
But the next word is maybe the sort of word you might see in a film if there's like a Billy Crystal film and he's playing a sort of very Jewish character.
I'm schwitzing.
Yeah, schwitz.
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 Schwitz is sweating, to sweat.
Schwitzing.
It's hot in here. I'm schwitzing. I'm schwitzing up here.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just sweating. And so it's a verb.
Okay.
To schwitz.
Schwitz. I can't really see any sweat and schwitz. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, the SW, and here's
SHV, Schwitz, sweat. Yeah, they must be related.
Yeah, they can
be. Yeah, because obviously a lot of words in English come from Germanic.
Yeah.
Spiel or Spiel, isn't it?
Your Spiel.
Spielberg.
It's kind of like Spielberg is like your speech. What's your Spiel? It's kind of like a pitch. It's kind of like a pitch, like a movie pitch, like kind of your presentation, your discourse.
Yeah, some stuff you say is your spiel.
It's your spiel.
So you can have good spiel and bad spiel, can't you?
Yeah, it's kind of like, also it's kind of linked with your routine, I imagine a traveling salesman, he has his spiel, like the same speech he says every time when he wants to get you to buy whatever you're selling. Like, that's your spiel.
Or whenever anyone says to me, "So what's your podcast about?" And then I give the usual 30-second spiel about what it is.
Kind of like has this idea of like prepared, something that you've like prepared that you repeat often.
Some information that's stock, that's always prepared in advance. What's written on the back of a book? Don't they write spiel on the back of a book?
You
get the book, you look at the cover,
like
the title,
the summary of the book,
and you read the spiel on the back.
Yeah,
that I've definitely heard it used like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Spiel for the stuff that's written on the back of the book.
So it's kind of like, I guess a speech. It's like a
sort of functional information delivered in a speech normally.
I'm going to see what the real definition is.
Yeah, okay.
What Google. Spiel meaning an elaborate or glib speech or story, typically one used as a salesperson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sales pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the spiel on the back of the book is there to kind of make you buy it.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, that's nice. And I knew that one. I didn't know schwitz. I didn't know shul. I didn't know schnook. Schlemiel. And
locks, you didn't know.
Okay, so we've got a few left here. Tuchus.
Tuchus.
And tush.
Tush and tuchus.
Okay.
Both mean the butt.
The butt, the bum.
The behind.
The bottom.
Yes, the bottom. So tuchus is more, I guess, Yiddish. Tush is very common in the United States, especially when you're talking to kids, because it's like a nice way.
Of saying, like, move your bum out of the way, move your tush.
Yeah, it's like, I guess the equivalent would be bum.
Yeah, okay.
Your tush or tushy. as well.
Right. Yeah, that's just very commonly used.
It's pretty common,
but
yeah.
Tuchus is very specific to sort of Yiddish.
Just to pronounce it is harder. Tuchus. It sounds more German and, you know, Yiddish. So I guess that's why it's less common. But yeah, tush is more easy. Like push, just tush.
Tush, yeah. I always thought that the tuchus was a specific part of a chicken. Because I heard an interview.
The butt of the chicken.
Yeah, because in a chicken you've got like the legs and whatever, yes, and the breast and stuff. And there is also kind of a flap at the back, which is like quite a nice meaty part.
Yeah.
And that's the tuchus.
I guess it's the tuchus of the chicken. Yeah.
So I heard that in an interview once, and I always thought that tuchus was specifically the chicken's bum in a roast chicken. But it's anyone's bum.
It's anyone's bum, yeah.
Your tuchus. Okay. A couple of other S words here.
Yeah.
Schmooze. No, we did that.
We did schmooze.
We did schmooze.
Yeah.
Schnoz or schnozzle.
Yeah, which is a nose, a big nose.
Big nose. Yeah. Look at his schnoz.
Yeah. Usually means someone who has a big nose, and it's a good word too. I like it because it sounds like, oh, what a schnoz he's got. You heard it because you said...
I've heard it before.
I mean, talking about Ringo Starr.
Yeah. I've seen some interview with the Beatles in America, or maybe in one of their movies, someone mentions Ringo's schnozzle.
Yeah.
Meaning his big nose.
Yeah.
So I only knew it from that. I knew it was a kind of a bit of American slang.
Yeah.
Not the sort of thing that gets used every day.
Oh, it's coming from snout.
Snout, really?
Yeah. You see, perhaps from schnauz or schnauz of
schnauz.
German. Schnauz, yeah.
Schnoz.
Schnoz.
Schnoz meaning nose.
Yeah.
Okay. And then stumm, keep stumm.
Yeah, stumm is quiet, silence, shut up.
Don't say anything, keep stumm, it's between you and me.
Stumm coming from mute, apparently in German.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Right, keep stumm.
Yeah.
So that's a very common one, heard that one lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing on the list here, we've got this thing called schm reduplication.
Yeah.
Schm reduplication.
You have to give the example so it's clear.
So reduplication is when you basically say the same thing twice.
Yeah.
So, but schm reduplication is when you, in the second one, you add schm before it. So always talking about your podcast all the time. Podcast this, podcast that, podcast schmodcast.
Yeah. Which kind of just belittles anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at this pen. Oh, pen.
It's like a dismissive way of referring to something.
Yeah. Oh, look at my Ferrari. Ah, Ferrari.
Ferrari. Ferrari. Ferrari.
You can't do it. Yeah, it's really hard to do it with some things.
Yeah, like the new iPhone's come out. iPhone 16 is coming out. I'm going to go and get the new iPhone.
iPhone.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's easier.
Well, there you go. I think we've just done probably... a decent number of words that are commonly used.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of others, actually. We didn't do these two.
Oh, okay.
Is that important? Verklempt.
Verklempt.
Very German sounding.
Yeah. It's emotional, like especially emotional.
Yeah.
What's the word? Like overcome with emotion.
Choked up.
Choked up, yeah.
Like, you know, can't when you...
Yeah. It could be positive or negative. You know, I'm verklempt because I'm proud of my child, or I'm verklempt because...
I just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, that's good. Like, yeah, when people win an Oscar and they can't really talk because they're overcome with emotion is verklempt.
That's verklempt. Yeah. And then jenta?
Jenta is a chatterbox, meaning a woman who gossips.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah, who gossips, like the village gossip.
Like, don't tell her she's a real jenta.
She's a real jenta. She's going to tell the whole village.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
I see. All right, you know what? What we need to do now is you need to test me on these things.
All right, yeah.
So see if you can do that. See,
you want the definition and you have to say the word?
Yeah,
or
I won't look at the screen. You just scroll through them. Just give me a definition or some example.
So I'll give you the definition.
And I have to give you the word.
You have to give me the word. Okay.
Yeah, let's see if I can actually remember any of these things. Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, dear. I'm starting easy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oy vey.
Yeah, good. That's too easy. Oh, this computer's not working. They must have some sort of bug.
There's a glitch in my computer.
A glitch, yeah. Don't marry him. He's a non-Jew.
Don't marry him. He's a goy.
Good.
100% so far.
Yeah. Don't marry him because he's a loser.
He's a putz.
Yeah, good. There are several ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he dropped the glass again. What a
klutz.
Yeah. I can't order a cheeseburger because that's not
kosher. It just ain't kosher.
Yeah.
I was going to say before that kosher is one that's used a lot in British English too. You might hear sort of Cockneys using the word kosher in a gangster movie.
Yeah, it means anything that's correct. What would kosher be like?
Yeah, correct and acceptable, and by the rules.
Right, yeah.
By the rules and stuff like that.
And by definition, not kosher. Say, oh, that's not kosher. See, something's fishy.
It's
something's
not cool.
Not right.
It's not the done thing.
Yeah, something's not right.
So you might hear Cockney gangsters like Jason Statham.
Statham
just saying, don't do that. It ain't kosher.
Yeah.
See? So yeah. Anyway, that was kosher.
Yeah. Next. Stop complaining so much. Stop
kvetching all the time.
Kvetch.
Yeah. Kvetch. Kvetch.
Kvetching, good.
What's kvetching? I don't know.
I don't know.
Kvetching.
It's probably a Yiddish word, too.
Yeah, maybe.
That guy's climbing the Eiffel Tower. He's a...
Real schnook or schlemiel?
No, mashugana.
Mashugana. I've got crazy. Yeah, crazy. Okay. Mashugana. Oh, I got one wrong. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. He just falls for anything. What a
schnook.
There you go. Yeah, schnook.
But he'll believe anything.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's hot in here.
I'm schwitzing,
yeah. I got a knock on my door, and this guy was trying to sell me something, and he had this incredibly long
spiel.
Yeah. Watch out. If you trip over that, you might fall on your...
On your tuchus.
Your tush. I think I would like to thank the Academy.
What's it called?
This is making me so...
I can't remember.
Verklempt.
Such a weird word.
Yeah, another reason why this is well known is because there was this SNL Saturday Night Live sketch, or several sketches by Mike Myers, mm-hmm. called Coffee Talk,
yeah.
where he imitated like a 55-year-old Jewish, like cliche of the Jewish woman, mm-hmm. like I guess New York Jewish woman, and she would use, the character would be like using all of these Yiddish words. It's like, oh, I'm so verklempt. And it kind of like became very popular,
okay.
at least like with our generation.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to pray, so I'm going to go to...
Shul.
Yes.
Synagogue.
Yeah, synagogue. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You open the door for me. You're such a...
Oh, yeah. You're a mensch.
Yeah, you're such a mensch.
Yeah, open the door for me. You what a mensch.
Yeah, wow, what a mensch.
Uh-huh.
We're pretty good, huh? Wow, she's just going to tell everybody about that. What a...
Oh, someone who... Yenta,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, could you believe that after I paid for his coffee, he came up and he had the
chutzpah.
Yeah, to ask me for dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's pretty good, huh?
I think I got most of them, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
Right.
You did pretty well.
Listeners, I wonder how you did as well in that little memory test. And I'm curious to know also if any of these words have worked their way into other languages. I wonder if that's possible. Wouldn't be surprised.
I haven't heard any of them in French.
No.
Kosher? I don't think... Well, kosher, yeah, but they have their own word, kasher.
Right.
But I don't... Like, I know a little bit of Spanish. I haven't heard any of these words in Spanish. I think also, like, English, especially American English, seeing that there are so many immigrants, is a little bit more open to accepting words from other languages. And so I think that's part of the reason why... they're actually like used now and they're considered English words.
Because
I feel like, I'm saying that because like there's the Académie Française, which like wants to protect the French language from exterior invasion.
Right.
Where I feel like American English, I don't know if it's the same for British English, but it seems a little bit more open.
Yeah.
Like it's okay if, immigrants have brought over this word that's so widely used that it's practically now an English word.
A lot of these are used in English as well. We've got sort of Jewish communities in England, like parts of London, for example, where you would hear a lot of these words being used too in families sort of like yours.
But like any British person would understand some of these, though.
Yeah, right? Lots of these would just be understood by most British people, including like keep stumm,
spiel.
To schmooze, spiel, glib. Glib? No, glitch.
Glitch, yeah.
What else? Schlock.
Klutz.
Klutz, putz. Oy vey, mensch, kosher, chutzpah and bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good deal of them already well known.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
All right. Sebastian, thank you very much for coming on and talking to us about this. It's been very interesting.
Yeah.
Would you like to take this opportunity to promote yourself? This is going to be published probably in May sometime, maybe late May. So if you've got something in the pipeline.
Yeah, well, I'll probably be hosting my English comedy night in Paris called the New York Comedy Night. You can check us out. Luke often performs on that. And I also perform in French all over Paris and all over France. So I will probably have a date, if you do speak a little bit of French, on June 3rd in Paris.
June the 3rd.
At La Gaîté Montparnasse, near Montparnasse.
Okay, which is a nice big theater.
Yes.
You're doing a special one-off.
A one-off.
Yeah. One-off show.
One-off show there. And that's it. Well, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And I'm on TikTok, but nobody knows that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have that many people following.
Sebastian Marx, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for back onto Luke's English Podcast.
It was a pleasure.
Right, so there you go. That was Sebastian Marx. Thank you very much to Sebastian for his contribution to the episode. So that list again. I said at the beginning of this episode that I would highlight words that I couldn't actually find in the Oxford English Dictionary, or at least in the Oxford Dictionary for Learners of English online. That's oxfordlearnersdictionaries.com. So the words again: bagel, chutzpah, glitch, goy, klutz, kosher, kvetch, lox, mensch. All of those are in the dictionary. Mashugana, I couldn't find. Putz, yeah, that's in there. Schlemiel, couldn't find that one, although I love the word. What else? Schmutz, I couldn't find in the dictionary. Also, Schul, Schwitz, Tukus, and Verklempt, and Jenter. All right? I actually couldn't find those in the dictionary. But nevertheless, these are still words that sometimes crop up in English, like I said before, in sort of sketches where there are Jewish characters speaking English, but throwing in maybe a few Yiddish words, you know, and that's not just sort of exclusive to the Jewish community. The same could be said for any other community in an English speaking country. Like, for example, it might be even places like in Scotland where people might speak the Scots Gaelic language, or in Ireland or Wales, or maybe Indian or Pakistani communities living in the UK, they will speak English most of the time, but they might throw in some words from their native languages too. They might throw in some words from the language associated with their sort of their roots too. But anyway, I hope you found this to be an interesting conversation. And I wonder also if those words are used in your countries as well, right? Because obviously this is not just English. I'm sure that these words have made their way into other languages as well. All right. That's all I've got to say at the end of this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. Leave your comments on the page for this episode on my website. Okay. Have a lovely day, morning, afternoon, evening, or night. And I'll speak to you again soon. By the way, also, let me just give a little plug to Sebastian Marx. His website was sebmarx.com, right? Seb Marx. You know how to spell Marx, like Karl Marx or the Marx Brothers. Sebmarx.com. Let me just have a quick look at his website, because I want to plug his comedy shows. So you can find his shows. So he's performing in French. So if you are French, and yes, I do have French people listening to this show. Hello, bonjour. Or bonsoir, whatever time of day it is. Ça va? Go and see Sebastian Marx's stand-up show in Paris. He's a very funny man. You can see him at, where is he? He's at La Gaîté Montparnasse. Actually, no, looking at his website, Seb is on tour. Wow, he's doing a tour of France and also Belgium, performing in places like Paris, Nice, Marseille, Genève, Nantes, Montpellier, Toulouse, Bordeaux, and lots of other places. He's touring throughout June. Check him out. Actually, wait a minute. When is this going to go up? When's this episode going to be published? It's going to be published 24th of May. All right, so Maybe I've come a little bit late here because it looks like he's, by the time you listen to this, he'll be coming to the end of his run. But he's performing in Marseille on the 26th of May, Geneva in Switzerland on the 27th of May, then Nantes on the 4th of June, and Paris on the 3rd of June. Go to sebmarks.com if you want to see Sebastian performing live. He's good. He's really good. He's been doing it for many years now, and he's a funny man. It looks like he's only performing in French, but he does, on Saturdays, he does a show called the New York Comedy Night, which you heard me and him mention there. The New York Comedy Night, where other performers come and do sort of 10 or 15 minute spots in English. And that is at Palais des Glaces near République in Paris every Saturday evening. So come along to that. Sometimes I perform at that show as well. Anyway, if you're interested in seeing Seb Marks performing at his show, then go to sebmarks.com and you can find his tour dates and stuff like that. Okay. All right then. This really is the end of the episode now. Thank you so much for listening. I will speak to you very soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.